Unlock the door to the past with Bürgermeisterin. I'm Julia, your time-traveling companion on this immersive exploration of history's tapestry. Each episode will peel back the layers of time to reveal the vivid stories and pivotal moments that have sculpted the world we know today. Whether you fancy calling it Neumünster or Neumünster Abbey, this Benedictine bundle of bricks and history has had more ups and downs than a roller coaster at a fun fair run by caffeinated squirrels. To kick things off, before this abbey even came about, there was already a district with an abbey that had quite the history. It turns out that the settlement on this property, which also included the Bockrock, the giant rock wall that leads to the Grund, that Count Siegfroy got his hands on around 963, must have been pretty happening. Siegfroy was, mind you, the founder and the first ruler of the Castle of Luxembourg in 963 AD, and the ancestor and predecessor of the future counts and dukes of Luxembourg. It was in 963 that he, in search of a site from which he could defend his properties, obtained the Bock and its surroundings from St. Maximus Abbey in Trier in exchange for the land he owned at Ferlin in the Ardennes to the north. It was right along the Elzette River that the crafty folks who helped Siegfroy and his clan build their castle and all those fancy lordly buildings decided to set up shop. Ah, the great medieval times. But I digress. And it's these craftsmen, along with the Count's family and his entourage, who probably turned to the fishermen, millers and bakers, unless the blacksmiths had some secret baking talents. They were so numerous that by the end of the 10th century, 900s that is, they even got their very own church, dedicated to Saint Ulrich, a gift from Siegfroy himself. You see, this place was one of the first known settlements in the area that would eventually become Luxembourg City. So in the year of 1083, when the next count, Count Conrad, the fellow who can proudly claim to be the first of Luxembourg, decided to get all monastic and built a snazzy monastery on a hill east of his castle, which would later become the Abbey of Altmünster. Again, a different one, which has only the tower left of it now. Not only he built it, but he also assigned, I'm quoting, the water from the St. Ulrich Bridge to the Rock of the Moor, along with all the rights of use and the freedom to fish upstream and downstream with the mills and ovens to it. Can you believe it? The dude gave away fishing and baking privileges to you. The mysterious demise of Altmünster Abbey is shrouded in uncertainty. We can't pin down the exact date of culprits who orchestrated its destruction. However, it's quite likely that the French King Francis I, who managed to conquer the city of Luxembourg in 1543, had a hand in bringing it down. The idea was to prevent their imperial enemies from seeking refuge in the abbey during future sieges. The surviving monks were forced to pack their bags and head down to the Grund Valley, which was part of the land Count Conrad had generously granted them when he founded the abbey in the year of 1083. Just bringing it back to earth here, the difference between the events was 5 centuries. You know, just for perspective. They set up shop in the hospital slash hospice of St. John, which was handed over to them by Charles V, its collator. They had to make some adjustments to suit their needs, and the hospital itself was rebuilt a bit, upstream along the Elzette. The current location of the former hospital is now the location of Neumünster Abbey, my friends. In 1606, Abbot Pierre Roberti embarked on an ambitious project to construct a brand new monastery. The abbot managed to swing a deal to incorporate the parish and hospital church of St. John into the abbey. This essentially made the abbot the official parish priest of the Grund district. But alas, life can be a bit of a prankster. In 1684, French troops under the command of Louis XIV decided to have a little party in Luxembourg and threw a few bombs around. This is the reference to the podcast about Petrus Casemate. Go have a listen to it now. Poor abbot's handiwork took a hit, like a piñata at a birthday party, only with a lot more history and a lot fewer candies. Oops. Sometimes, even the best laid plans go up in smoke, quite literally. It was reconstructed almost immediately after, though. Enter Hubert Laloire, the military engineer from Liège. He had a knack for the art of reconstruction, which in this case meant giving the abbey a style that can only be described as restrained chic. Think of it as the architectural equivalent of a little black dress. Simple, elegant, and timeless. Then came a period of transformation. In 1798, the French administration decided to convert the former abbey into a prison and gendarmerie barracks with a detention center. Monsieur Gendarme, what's up, Disco Elysium reference? Go play that game right now. Drop everything and go play that game. It's brilliant. You're gonna thank me later. Anyway, moving on. So in 1805, the building was handed over to the municipality's welfare office, which established an orphanage there. This happened because the explosion of gunpowder stored in the Verloren Coast destroyed the previous orphanage, built in the ground on June 26, 1807. Fast forward to 1809, a new prison was built in the Rue Saint Ulrich, and the old abbey was repurposed as a military hospital for the troops of the German Confederation stationed in the Luxembourg Fortress. In 1867, after the Prussian garrison departed, the abbey experienced another transformation and became a prison yet again. Since 1830, Luxembourg had been lacking space for its prisoners because those who had been incarcerated in Vilvoorde and Antwerp from 1815 to 1830 were sent back to Luxembourg following the Belgian Revolution. From 1869 to 1985, the men's prison was located in these premises. Gosh, for over a century. Wow, to keep the inmates occupied, the Robert Cripps room was built, where they were put to work making paper bags, wicker chairs, book bindings, and various other tasks. But here's where the plot takes a dark turn. In 1840, when World War II was in full swing, the Gestapo decided to throw a not-so-jolly party at the abbey. They crammed some 4,000 unfortunate men and women into this unlikely venue. Talk about a historical makeover, from wicker chairs to holding place for wartime captives. And this abbey didn't give up its prison chic status easily. It continued to serve as a correctional facility until 1980, almost like a stubborn character in a story refusing to change its ways. But wait, there's a twist. Fast forward to today, and the Neumünster Abbey still clings to its historical significance. It's the place where Bulgaria and Romania decided to sign on the dotted line and join the European Union. It's like this abbey has seen it all, from monks to prisoners to EU diplomats. Talk about a multi-talented venue!